Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Ecce homo. Behold the man. Behold the man who is God in flesh. The God who came down to die for the sins of the world. Behold him. There hangs your God, your Messiah, hanging dead from a piece of wood. It's almost unimaginable, isn't it, that that word that spoke all things into being would take on that flesh and then follow the road of suffering to his own cross, to be nailed in between two criminals deserving of that death penalty. Pilate cries out, Ecce homo, behold the man. Here is the one that you have asked for. This is your king. Shall I crucify him? And yet they have blood on their minds. They have death and murder on their minds. And they cry out, crucify him, crucify him. Yes, they want that man dead. They have rejected that this is God in flesh. They have rejected that the eternal Son has come down to be their Messiah, the same Messiah that they had prayed for every day of their life. They would not stop until he was dead. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, stands above his head. It is a confession of whom he is. It is a confession of the truth. This Jesus, this Yahweh is salvation, is what his name means. He is from Nazareth, and he is, in fact, the King of the Jews, but also the King of all creation. They attack him. They want him put to death because they claim that he had made himself Caesar. Even though you know the words of Jesus, when they ask him outright, should we pay taxes? He takes one of those coins and he says, whose likeness is on it? And they say, Caesar. And he does not say, give it to me, I am the new Caesar. Instead, he says, give to Caesar that which is Caesar's, and give to God that which is God's. Yes, those coins bore the image of Caesar, but their whole selves belonged to God. For God had given them their life, their property, their husband or wife, their children. Every good that they had was a gift from him, and he desired them. He desired mercy. He desired it so much that he sent his only begotten Son to do just this. Behold the man who hung on the tree, God in the flesh, for you and for me. As Jesus is hanging from that cross for those 6 hours, he looks out at his mother Mary. And I cannot imagine the pain that Mary was feeling that day. Yes, she knew that her son had come. She knew that her son had come in a miraculous birth, in a miraculous conception, for that sole purpose, to die for the sins of the world. But even though she knew that, with a mother's eyes and a mother's heart, she looks at her son, bloody and bruised, hanging from a cross. Some of you know what it's like to lose a child. Thanks be to God, I have not had to feel that pain, and I pray that I never do. And if you haven't, I pray that you never do either. But Mary did. Mary endured not only seeing her son die and lifeless in her arms, but she had to watch in his suffering. And she stood there knowing that this was the only way that all people could be forgiven of their sins, including herself. Jesus, as a good son, does not leave her by herself. Rather, he turns to John, his beloved disciple, and he says, "Behold your mother." He has entrusted his own mother to his beloved disciple, John, and John would care for her as his own mother for the rest of her days. Jesus loves his mother. As he looks out at her, he knows that he is doing that so that she might have a part with him in eternal life. As he looks out at St. John, he also looks at him the same way. He knows that he must be there then and now so that John might also have a part with him. And he knew each and every one of you by your names, for he has called you. And he has brought you to himself. When the whole cup of God's wrath was poured out upon Jesus from his cross, when that wrath is completely poured out, and he acknowledges and he cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He acknowledges that his Father has turned his back on him. Because he who knew no sin became sin for the world. He drank that cup down to the last dregs. And when all was fulfilled, he cried out his last, "It is finished. Lord, it is done. I have come to do exactly what you have commanded of me. I have died that your others might have life." And then we see with what great care they handle him afterward. Not the soldiers so much, even though they don't have to break his legs because he is already dead. And even though they shove a spear in his side, flowing out the gifts of the sacraments. But those who followed him come reverently. We see Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple but secretly, come and ask Pilate for his body that he might bury him. And we see Nicodemus return once again, the man who earlier in John 3 had come out to Jesus in the middle of the night and asked him how to inherit eternal life. Jesus told him, "You must be born again. You must be born of water and the word. You must be made a child of my Father. You must be baptized." Nicodemus now comes out to assist in that burial. And he comes out with Joseph and the women. They go and they take the body of Jesus. They carefully wrap it in strips of linen. They use a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. And as the custom of the Jews is to bury, a custom that Christians continued onward for 2,000 years, they place him into a new tomb. A tomb in which a body had not yet been laid. Why do they place his body in a tomb? Why do they bury him? For the same reason that we bury our dead as Christians. Because that's not the last word of the body. The body is placed into a tomb or into the ground with the sure and certain hope that it will be picked back up again. Jesus' body would do that on the third day. He would pick up his body to show that he has defeated death, that he has crushed Satan's head, just as was prophesied in Genesis chapter 3. Your bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit, to be picked back up again on the day when the trumpets sound, when the archangels cry out, and we will be with him in the new heavens and the new earth. Confess this Jesus. Believe in him with your whole heart. This Jesus, whom we crucified because of our sins. This Jesus, who is God in the flesh. Behold the man, the God-man, who died for sinners like you and me. The church sings, O sorrow dread, our God is dead. Upon the cross extended, there his love enlivened us as his life was ended. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.